Okay, today daf is Shabbat daf Tzadi Hey. We are in the middle of Tzadi Dalet Amud Bet at the Mishnah Hanotel Tziponav Zo Bezo O Bishinav. So someone who picks up his fingernails with his other fingernails or with his teeth, meaning he bites his nails. Chem Se'arov, Chem Sfamov, Chem Zikno. Right, or someone who removes hairs from his hair on his head, his beard hair or his mustache hair. V'chein Ha Godelet V'chein Hakochelet V'chein Hapokeset. Right, so someone who a woman who braids her hair or puts makeup on her eyes, or who fixes up her hair. Rabbi Lezer mechayav chachamim osrim mishum shvut. So Rabbi Lezer says it's chayav chatat, meaning it's asur deoraita. The chachamim say it's just it's asur derabanan. Am Rabbi Lezer machloket biyad aval bakli chayav. Right, so according to Rabbi Lezer, the machloket here about whether it's asur derabanan or asur deoraita is only when you do it with your hand. However, if you do it with a utensil designated to do it, like a fingernail cutter or a scissors, then you're going to be chayv. Everyone says that pshita zobazo tanan, right? Isn't that obvious that we're talking that where the machloket exists is but doing it by hand and not by utensil? It said zobazo, meaning do it with your fingers. We know it's not talking about a utensil. What's the purpose of making that inference? It's explicit that we're talking about not using it with a utensil. It says you did it with your fingers. Maudatema. Rabbanan b'kli, now in potri. No, because what would you have said? That the Rabbanan also say by kli, it's putter. Okay, then why did they say that zobazo is putter? Ah, they had a different reason to say zobazo is putter. V'adikdani zobazo lo di l'chakocho de Rabbi Eliezer. Right? So the reason that it taught doing zobazo is because even though that's a more lenient way of doing it, Rabbi Eliezer still says that it's aser de'oraita. So, we were concerned that if you didn't teach zobazo, right, then you wouldn't realize just how machmi Rabbi Eliezer's shita is. You had to teach me zobazo not to tell me that a kli is going to be chayav according to the Rabbanan. No, inachanami, a kli is also putter according to the Rabbanan. The only reason to teach me zobazo is to tell you that even in a case of zobazo, Rabbi Eliezer says it's chayav. But if you didn't teach me zobazo that he's doing it with his fingernails, then you wouldn't have realized how machmi Rabbi Eliezer's shita is. Because if you just would have taught me doing it with a kli, then I would have assumed, fine. But Rabbi Eliezer, however, he must hold that if you do it zobazo, that's going to be putter. Only zobazo says it's asur deoraita by kli. Maybe that's what you would have said, kamash malan, that you shouldn't say that the Rabbanan do in fact believe that with a kli is chayav, and they weren't just saying zobazo putter in order to show you how machmi Rabbi Eliezer's shita is. They're also saying zobazo putter because that is the only case that's putter, but a kli is going to be chayav. For Rabbi Eliezer, machloket le'atzmo aval chavero divrei hako putter. Rabbi Eliezer adds that the machloket applies to when he does it by himself, to himself. He picks his own nails. If he picks someone else's nails, however, everyone agrees it's going to be putter. Pshita, tziponav tanan. Wasn't that obvious? That's not an inference. That's explicit in the Mishnah. He says he removes his own fingernails with his fingernails, not someone else's. Explicit in the Mishnah, we're talking about his fingernails and no one else's. Now, because what would you have said? You would have said that Rabbi Lezer would also say it's chayev by doing it to someone else. You may have thought to say that when Rabbi Lezer says, Rabbi Lezer says it's chayev even to do it to someone else. Okay, well then, why then did he teach in the Mishnah that it's chayev for doing it to himself? If he also thought it was chayev to do it to someone else, then he should have said that. By saying it's only chayev when you do it to someone else, that seems to yourself, that seems to imply that you're putter from doing it to someone else. No. The only reason that it taught that way the only reason it taught his fingernails is not to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, in a different case it would be putter. No, in a different case, when you do it to someone else, it's also chayev. And the only reason that he taught his fingernails is to show you how makil the Rabbanan Shita is, who says that even his own fingernails, he's going to be putter. Right? So it's very similar to the flip of the last case that you could say, I mean, there's two potential inferences you can make. You could either say that the reason you said that A is putter is to indicate to you that B is chayev, according to that shita. You could say that. He taught that A is putter to tell me that B is really chayev. Or you could say, he taught that A is putter. He, in Achanami, he also believes that B is putter. So then why did he teach that A is putter? That sounds like he's excluding B. No, he taught A is putter because he wanted Derech Agav by teaching that A is putter to show you that in a more extreme case, the other opinion says chayev or putter. Meaning to show you the extent of the kula or the extent of the chumrah of their shita, they taught the more makil one, but that's not to exclude the more machmir one. It was just to show you the extent of this, of the the extent of the kula or the chumra of the other shita. Kamash melan, you shouldn't say that. Rather, it is true that everyone holds that that if you clip someone else's fingers, if you pick someone else's fingernails, it's going to be pater. That is the pshat at the end of the day, and he didn't only say his own fingernails to show you just how makel the rabbanon were. V'chein se'aro, right? So a woman braiding her hair. N'tana, notel melo pi hazug chayv. So someone who takes out the amount of hair that fills a scissors tip is going to be chayv. V'chama melo pi hazug. So how much is that? Amar Rav Yehuda shtayim. That's two pieces of hair. V'atanya lekarcha shtayim. But didn't we teach later on that you're not allowed to pull out your hair? And didn't we teach that pulling out your hair is chayv with two hairs, right? So seeing as that is the continuation of the Mishnah, it doesn't make sense to teach Malay Piazug is aser for this, but two hairs is aser for that. That makes it sound like Malay Piazug is not two hairs. It makes it sound like you're giving two different shiurim. This is also by this size, but that's also by that size, right? So it can't be two because we have a contrast. It's a different shiur than the one that says two. Eima v'chein l'karcha shtayim. No, what it was saying is v'chein l'karcha shtayim, meaning not male pi hazug is one shiur and then shtayim is another shiur. Rather, male pi hazug is two, and similarly by pulling out hair. The iser is with two, but it's the same shear. Someone who takes out the amount of hair that fills up a scissor tip is going to be chayav. The kalam le piyazug shtayim. How much is that? That's two pieces there. Rabbi Lezer Omer, achad. According to Rabbi Lezer, it's only one. Umadim chachamim the Rabbi Lezer b'milakit levanot mitoch shecharot. However, the chachamim agreed to Rabbi Lezer shita when we're talking about pulling out white hairs from black hairs in order to not so you don't look old, so you don't have white hair. That shafilu achachayv. You're chayav for pulling out even one hair because it's a significant amount of hair because you don't want it there, right? By the way, that's not only also on Shabbat, it's also on our weekday, because picking out the white hairs from the dark hairs not wanting to look old is also even on a weekday for men to do, because that's a practice of women, and it's not really the practice of men to be concerned with that cosmetic concerns. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tziporen Sheperish Ruba Vatzitzin Sheperishu Ruba. Right, so if you have a fingernail that came most of the way off, or pieces of skin that have peeled most of the way off your finger, so that is if you did it with your hand, that's mutter. You're allowed to do that. However, with a kli, if you clipped it off, then you're chayv chatat, right? With your hand, mutter legamri, afilu lechachila, and then with a kli, chayv deoraita, right? So that's a big contrast between those two things. Generally, we only see it one stage removed in terms of mutter, and the other one is pater, meaning it's asur derabanan, or pater and asur deoraita. Mi'ikamidid bekli chayv chatat biyad mutter lechachila. But do we have a case where by doing it with a kli, you're chayv deoraita, and by doing it with your hand, it's mutter lechachila? That's a big gap between there. Perishu Ruban Biyad Mutar Bakli Pater Aval Asr. No. This is how it was stated. Right, if most of the nail or the pieces of skin have come off, if you take it off with your hand, that's mutter, and if you take it off with a vessel, the kli, that's pater of al aser. I mean, it's aser derabanan. However, lo piyush ruban. What if not the majority have come off? Only a little bit has come off. Biyad pater of al aser, but kli chayv chatat. In that case, if you take it off with your hand, that's pater, but it's still aser derabanan, and with a kli, it's chayv chatat. Right. So there are two different cases that we're talking about here, and each one has two different dinim. Based on yad or kli, and they're only one stage removed. If most of it has come off, then asur derabanan to do with a kli, but mutter to do it with your hand. If not most of it has come off, then it's asur derabanan to do it with your hand, but asur deraita to do it with a kli. So it's only each and everything is only one stage removed for its particular case. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, halacha follows k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar shita. Amar Rava bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'ush pirshu klape mala umitzara oto. Right, and that's only if they are separated towards the top, like you have. Like a hangnail or something separated towards the top, and they're causing you discomfort. That's when you're allowed to take it off. Just so no one gets confused, Lamaisa, we say that we're not exactly sure which one he meant by separating from the top and separating from the bottom in terms of when you're allowed to remove those pieces of skin. So we say Lamaisa, you're not allowed to remove them at all. But if we knew what they were talking about in theory, then we could be allowed to remove it on Shabbat. V'chein hagodela, right? So someone, a woman who braids her hair, godela kuchela pokeset mishum mai mechayva. So what are those isurim for? Someone who braids her hair, paints her face, or fixes her hair. What are those chiyuvim? What did you do wrong? I'm Rabbi Avin. I'm Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Chanina, godel mishum oreget. Right. So someone who braids her hair, it's a problem of weaving. Kochel mishum kotevet. Right. And someone who puts makeup on, it's like writing. Pokeset mishum tove. Right. And someone who fixes their hair, it's like they're spinning. I'm Rabbanan. Kame de Rabbi Abahu. V'chi derech ariga bekach. V'chi derech ketiva bekach. V'chi derech tevia bekach. Is that a normal method of weaving? Is that a normal method of writing? Is that a normal method of spinning? No. These are fundamentally different actions altogether. Putting on makeup is not like writing. Putting on braiding hair is not like weaving, right? You're comparing unlike things here. That's not the method by which those malachot are actually accomplished. El amar Rabbi Abahu, ledidi mifarshali, mine de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Right? So it was explained to me in the name of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina that the following are the isurim. Kochelet mishum tzovat, right? Painting your face is an isur because of coloring or dyeing, which may make some more sense, right? Godelet. Did I skip one? Oh, no, I said godelet upokeset mishum bone, right? So, braiding or fixing your hair is a problem of building. Okay, then v'chib derech binyan bekach? It's a problem of building to braid your hair? Is that the normal manner that people build? In, yeah, that actually is, in a sense, it is appropriate to call that building. How do I know it's appropriate to call braiding your hair building? K'tidarish rabishum b'menasiya v'yivin Hashem elokim et hatzela. Because it says by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by making chava for Adam, that they got built aside. The Kadosh Baruch Hu built a side, right? That's basically he took the rib from Adam and made it into Chava, right? Melamed shekila Kadosh Baruch Hu lechava v'hivia etzel Adam, right? So we learn from there that Kadosh Baruch Hu braided Chava's hair before he brought her to Adam to make her look very beautiful. Shekain b'garchayam korchim lekili ata b'niata, because the lashon kelia is sometimes referred to. The Lashon Binyan is sometimes referred to by a Kaliyah, a braid, and so because they understood from that Braita that it's applicable to call braiding someone's hair by the terminology of Binyan, and therefore, when I say it's Bone, that follows suit with this Braita that we learn talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu braiding Chava's hair, and that's why it's an appropriate terminology for the act of braiding, right? And essentially, I guess it comes down to, you know, putting together different pieces in a way that they hold together, theoretically, fundamentally, we can understand why that would be bone, but now we just have the fact that the very terminology of bone is applied to braiding just kind of sends it home and says that this is an actual method that people refer to as building. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Godele Kochele to Pokeset, La'atma Petur L'Chaver T'Chayavet. Right, so if the woman does these three things, right, braiding her hair, painting her eyes, or fixing her hair, if she did to herself, she's Pata. If she did to someone else, however, she's Chayav, I guess it wasn't normal to do that to yourself. Right. Similarly, by the way, Rabbi Elazar taught that a woman is not allowed to put makeup on her face because it colors the skin. So that's why we say that is our understanding of the iser, that it's sovea and not kotev. Tan Rabbanan. Hacholev v'mechabetz v'megaben. Right. So cholev is milking an animal. Mechabetz is like the second stage. Basically, you want to strain the thicker parts of the milk from the thinner parts of the milk. V'megaben, and that's making cheese. Right. So how much you also for producing a kegrugereth, right? So you do enough of that, you do that the size of a dried fig, that's going to be chayv. Hamachavim rabbetz ve'arode chalut devash. If you sweep the floor, right, you're not allowed to sweep the floor, spreading the dust everywhere, because it evens out the surface of the floor, because the floor is basically made out of dirt. Or someone who puts water all over the ground, so the dust kind of lays flat on the ground, or doesn't rise up into the air. And someone who takes a honeycomb out of, someone who removes honey out of the honeycomb, shagag b'shabat chayav chatat. If you did that b'shogig on Shabbat, he's chayav chatat, hezid v'yom tov, look erbayim. And if you did it b'mezid on yom tov, then he gets 40 lashes. Right? Both of these things are asur mide rabbanan, however, not deoraita. Rav Nachman Bar Guria ikla l'narda ba'u mine cholev mishum mayim chayev. Right, so when Rav Nachman Bar Guria went to Narda, they asked him the following question: What's the malacha of cholev? What are you doing wrong by cholev? And he said, Amarlu mishum cholev. Right, what do you mean you're doing wrong? You're milking. That's what you're doing wrong. Mechabetz mishum mayim chayev. Okay, what are you chayev for doing mechabetz? Amarlu mishum mechabetz. Oh, what you're doing wrong is mechabetz. It's aser. Megaben mishum mayim chayev. Okay, what are you doing wrong when you do megaben? Your next cheese. Amarlu mishum megaben. Well, Megabin is wrong. That's what you're doing wrong. Amarle, Rabcha Katil Kane Ba'agma Havet. Your teacher must have been a reed cutter in a swamp because you have no idea how to explain this bright to us. You're just using the words that we're using. That doesn't help us. You can't just use the words we're using to explain the bright to us. Tell us what the fundamental underlying malacha is. That's what we're asking. Meaning, I know the action is usr, but I meant that why is the action usr? Atashal ben midrasha. Amalu, they went to ask him the Beit Midrash, said the following, Cholev Chayav Mishum Mefarek, right? So Mefarek is, Mefarek is basically taking something out of its natural, out of the thing that produces it, taking something out of its natural, place that it grows. That's Mefarek. Mechabetz Chayav Mishum Borer, right? And separating the thick parts of the milk from the thin parts of the milk is Borer, right? It's selecting. Megaben Chayav Mishum Bone. And making cheese is Chayav, from building, because you basically take, like, all the, you know, thick parts from different, from across the milk, and you bring them together to form something solid, and that's like Bone. Hamechaber Meravetz Varode Chalot Devash, right? So back to the other part of the Braita. Someone sweeps the floor, puts the dust down, so it doesn't, you know, rise up into the air, and removes loaves of honey. Shaga b'Shabbat chayav chatad. If you did that b'Shogeg on Shabbat, so then he's chayav chatad. Hazy b'Yom Tov loke arbay. But if you did it b'Mezid on Yom Tov, then he gets 40 lashes. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. That's Rabbi Elazar's shita. Amar Rabbi Elazar. My time is Rabbi Elazar. I'm sorry. Ami Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, "What is the time of Rabbi Eliezer?" Meaning, why does Rabbi Eliezer believe that these are chayv mideoraita? Right? It says that you dipped it into a forest of honey. Uchima inyan yaar itzal tavash. What does a forest have anything to do with honey? El marlecha ma yaar atolash meno shabbat chayav chatad. Afachelo tavash arud meno bes shabbat chayav chatad. Right. So, what possible comparison is the Torah trying to draw between honey and trees that it seems to be comparing them to? Well, just like cutting down a tree on Shabbat will be asur deoraita. So too, taking the honey out of the honeycomb is going to be asur deoraita. That's the comparison that it wants to make, and that's why it says like a forest of honey, which is seemingly an unrelated word, but it's to draw a thematic link between honey and trees for the purposes of removing them on Shabbat. That the bichayev deoraita. Amemar shara zilcha b'mechoza. So a Amemar actually allowed putting water on the floor in Mechoza to let the dust settle. Amar tamamai amur rabbanon dima atilash v'yegumon hachalik gumon, right? And he gave a svara for himself. He says it's not just enough to say that it's usher to put water on the ground. You have to ask, why is it usher to put water on the ground? Why is it such a problem? Well, it's a big problem because you're going to come to even out the holes in the ground. Wonderful. In Mechoza, the floors are made out of stone. We don't have that problem here, so it's not usher. Rava tosfa eshichaylor Ravina, the Kamitsar, Mea Havla. So Rava Tosva found Ravina, who was really suffering from all the dust in the air of his house. So Amri Le, Mark Shisha Bereidu Rava, Eshchelor of Ashi, the Kamitsar, Mea Havla. Alternatively, the story may go that Mark Shisha, the son of Rava, found that Rav Ashi was being distressed by the amount of dust in his house, in the air. Amar Le, Lo Savarla Mar, Lehadatanya. But don't you hold it the following Breita, Rotsa the Ravitz Ed Beta Bishabat, maybe Ariva, Malea Maim, Verochet Panav Zavid Zo, Viara Bezavid Zo, Viraglav Bezavid Zo. Right, but don't you hold by the following braisa that someone who wants to settle the dust on the floor in his house should just bring a bucket of water and then wash his hands in one corner and his face in another corner, his legs and his feet in another corner. Basically with all the water that spills on the floor unintentionally by, you know, accomplishing your goal of washing yourself, then the dust is basically going to settle on its own. Yeah, actually I do hold like that. I just wasn't thinking of that. Tana isha chachama merabetet beita b'shabbat. Right, so similarly we taught in a braisa an educated woman, or perhaps the wife of an educated person who has heard this svara, is allowed to follow it in order to lay the dust on her on the floor on Shabbat. Va'ina desvira la k'Rabbi Shimon shari afilu l'chachila. And now that we passing like Rabbi Shimon, who says the melacha shana tzricha legufa is mutter, then you're even allowed to do that lechachila. You should just straight out put it there because it's not your goal. Your goal is not to even out the holes in the ground. Your goal is to let the dust settle. Since melacha shana tzricha legufa, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to do that. Okay, new mishnah. Hatolitz me'atzitz nakuv chayv. So if you take from a plant that was in a pot with a hole in it, the chiddush by a pot with a hole in it is we see it as if it's connected to the ground underneath it, right? So then you're gonna be chayev because you're picking something out of the ground, right? That's a class, you know, that's an usher deoraita case of tolesh, of picking something out of the ground. However, if the pot does not have a hole in it, then you're just pulling it out of a potted plant. It's not a part of the ground. We don't consider that to have actually taken root. So you're potter. Rabbi Shimon potter b'zeh b'zeh. Rabbi Shimon says you're potter in both of those cases. Rabbi Le Rabbi Le Rava v'Amri La Rabbi Chia Bar Rav Le Rav. So Abaye posed the following contradiction to Rava. Tanan Rav Shimon Poter Bezeh Bezeh. We learned in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon says that these, both of these things are Poter. Alma Nakuv L'Rav Shimon Kshe'enu Nakuv Mashvilei. So according to Rav Shimon, it seems to equate a potted plant with an unpotted plant for all cases. Raminhu, but I can bring you a contradictory teaching of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Omer Ein Bein Nakuv L'Sheinu Nakuv. There is nothing different between a potted plant that has a hole in it and a potted plant that doesn't have a hole in it. El Achshirus Raim Bilvan. Except for the following case, that a potted plant with a pot with a hole in it does not render seeds put inside of it able to become tuma. However, a pot without a hole in it is a proper pot for the sake of being mekabel tuma. Meaning, if you have it's a little bit confusing, but basically, in order for something to be mekabel tuma, it needs to be a proper kli. It needs to be a functional vessel. But something being a functional vessel is a little bit subjective because it depends what its function is. Meaning, if its purpose is one thing and it can do that one thing, even if it could not in theory do other things, then it's a proper vessel and it's going to be mekabel tuma. But if it could do something, but it's not its purpose, then it's not going to be a kli. Meaning, let's say you have a basket that you carry pomegranates in, and it's got pretty big holes in it, but the pomegranates aren't going to fall through the holes. Then it's a good basket still, because it's for pomegranates. The pomegranates aren't going to fall in, and if it's a good basket, then it's going to be mekabel tuma, because it's a proper basket, right? But what if the goal of the pot of the basket is to carry olives, and the holes, which are not big enough to let pomegranates go through, but they are big enough to let olives go through, well, then it depends what you're using the basket for. Because if you're using it for pomegranates, you're fine. I mean, if you're using it for pomegranates, you're not fine, because it can be mekabel tuma. And if you use it for pomegranates, then it's functional. And if it's functional, it's mekabel tuma. However, if you're using that same exact basket for olives, which would fall through, it's not a very functional basket. In which case, it's not a functional basket, it can't mekabel tuma. So it's a little bit subjective in its nature. And what we are saying is that if this pot is made for holding seeds, and the seeds are going to fall through, well, then that's not a functional pot, and therefore it is not roi lekabel tuma. However, if it does not have a hole in it, then it is roi lekabel tuma, because it's a functional pot. And so, according to Rabbi Shimon, that is a difference between a potted plant and a plant with a hole in it, or a plant without a hole in it. But that's difficult, because Rabbi Shimon seemed to imply that there was no difference between a pot with a hole in it and a pot without a hole in it. Amar le lechol mile Rabbi Shimon ketalish mashvile v'shani linyan tuma letaruripta tatara etzel zuraim. Right, yeah, in Achinami, Rabbi Shimon equates the two for all things. However, seeds are different, meaning all things on their right level, unless specified otherwise by the Torah, are going to be the same for a whole pot with a hole in it and a pot without a hole in it. Right. However, when it comes to when it comes to Tumah and Tahara by seeds, particularly, the Torah was very, very specific. I'll call it Zera, Zarua, Asher Yizra, from all those ribuyim, from all those multiple words that are used to imply the Tumah and Tahara of seeds. Rabbi Shimon learned an additional inyan to create that distinction between the pot with a hole in it and pot without a hole in it, but unless otherwise specified, it's going to be the same. Ba'aminehahu Saba, Rabbi Zera, Shurech Keneged Nekev Mali, right? So what if Mali Amar Rabbi Shimon, right? So what would Rabbi Shimon hold? Rather specifically, what would Rabbi Shimon tell me about the following case, right? When you have a hole in the pot, which he says is still exempt, but the root of the plant is right opposite the hole itself, right? Would he tell me that you're chayev there? Ishtik, Rabbi Zera was quiet. He didn't say anything. V'lomar levilomidi, he didn't give him an answer. Zimna chad ashkeche diyati v'kamar. But one time, that certain old man saw Rabbi Zera, and he was saying the following. Umoda Rabbi Shimon shim nikav b'chdei ta'arato, that Rabbi Shimon would agree, says Rabbi Zera, that if it's a hole in it that is big enough to make it tahor, then it's going to be chayv, because that is a significant hole in it, so it's like it's attached to the ground. Amar le hashta shorish keneged negev ba'iminach velo amar velo midi negev bichdei tarato mibaya. So he says, if in the case where the root is directly opposite the hole itself, it's basically as good as it connects to the ground, you didn't know what to answer me, but now you seem to know that he would hold that a pot with a big enough hole to be to lose its tuma status, that would be chayev, right? That's a much less obvious case. My case is more obvious. You didn't have an answer, but you're so confident that the case of the pot with a hole in it that makes it tahor, that's going, that you're positive there, it's going to be chayev. My case is more obvious, and you didn't know what to tell me. Amar Abaye v'itmar lahad Rabbi Zera hachi hu de'itmar. No, so Rabbi is going to explain to you what Rabbi Zera said that kind of gets him around that problem. Amud Rabbi Shimon sheim nikev l'ma Mata Merevi'it. So Rabbi Shimon agrees when that hole that makes it Tahor is underneath, is less than a Revi'it. Why? Because if that location, that size of a hole, just renders it not a Kli at all. To have a Kli with a hole that size in the bottom part of it is a problem. Meaning, if you have a hole in the side, fine, you can fill it up until the hole and use the hole to pour it out, whatever it may be. But if the hole is in the bottom of it, then it's not really good for anything. That totally takes it outside the realms of being a Kli. So why is it Tahor? It's Tahor because it's not a Kli, right? So your case, the old man asked, is not more obvious. I understand that where the hole is, there's a root directly opposite it. That's a good question. But if there's a massive hole in the bottom, it's just not a Kli anymore. So that's the more obvious case that it's going to be Tahor. And therefore, usher to pull something out of. There are five different sizes of Kli Cheres that are significant. Nikev Kimoti Mashka, right? So if it has a big enough hole, that liquid can come out of the Kli, right? It just drips out slowly from the Kli, but you would not be able to pour liquid into the Kli through that hole. Tahor Milatame Gistura, right? So it's not as Tame as, meaning it doesn't have the same exact din as just a broken piece of pottery. Meaning, it's not considered entirely whole, but a broken piece of pottery, but it's not the exact same thing as a broken piece of pottery, which is basically tahor for all things. V'adayin klihu, almost all things. V'adayin klihu l'kadesh bo mechatat. However, it is still considered a kli for the purposes of sanctifying the mechatat, right? So, the water that accompanies the para, aduma, you have to mix it together into a kli, right? So this is still a kli for the purposes of preparing. It is for the purposes of preparing the mechatan. It's still a functional kli for that purpose. However, it's just not a kli for every single purpose. Nikev kikones mashka. If it was a hole big enough in order to allow liquid in, tahor milakadesh bo mechatan. Right. So it is. Sorry, I explained the previous case a little bit imprecisely. Basically, if you have a broken piece of pottery, and you have a use for the broken piece of pottery, right? So then it's considered a functional vessel as far as it's useful for some purpose, like a knife, whatever it is that you're using a broken piece of pottery for. However, if that broken piece of pottery has a hole in it that is big enough to let water out of it, then it is no longer considered a functional broken piece of pottery. However, if it's a normal size, let's say pot, and it has that size of a hole in it, then it is still a proper vessel. And you need to make the mechatat in a proper vessel, so it's the proper vessel in order to make the mechatat. You can't put mechatat in something that isn't a kli. This is still considered a kli for that purpose. It's just not considered a kli if its only use is using it as like a broken piece of pottery. Then it's rendered completely useless. Nidkev kikones mashke. However, if it was big enough to let water into it, it is now no longer able to receive the mechatat in order to prepare it there, because it's not considered a kli for the sake of the mechatat. However, for the sake of collecting seeds that can be susceptible to tumah, as we were talking about earlier, then it's still considered a kli, because if the function of the kli is to hold seeds, it can still do that, and therefore it's still going to be ra'ui lekabel tumah. Nikev kishoresh katan, and if it has a hole in it the size of a small root, tahor malachshir bezraim. Right, so then if you're using it to hold seeds, then it can't be mekabel tumah, because it's not a vessel that fits to hold seeds. It has a hole in it the size of a small root. However, it can still hold olives, in which case, if you're holding olives in it, then it's a functional kli, and it can still be mekabel tumah. Nikev kimoti zeitim tahor milkabel zeitim. And if it has holes in it the size of olives, then it's going to be tahor for that purpose. However, if you're using the kli to hold pomegranates, then it's still a kli, because you can hold pomegranates in a kli that has olive-sized holes in it. Nikev kimoti mirmonim tahor miklum. Samin Patil Ad Sheyiftach Rubo. Right. So, and if it has holes in the size of pomegranates, it is completely tahor. However, if it's completely covered up and sealed, then until most of it breaks off, it's going to be considered tame because it's more functional when it's sealed off. Amrav Asi Shemati Kli Cheres Shiuru Kimotzi Ramon. I heard that what makes a Kli Cheres no longer susceptible to tuma is when it has holes in it the size of a pomegranate. Amar Le Rava Shama Lo Shemat Ella B'Mukav Tzamid Patil. Is that what you heard about the Kli Cheres only being rendered not a Kli? That what you heard about a Kli Cheres only being rendered not a Kli for the purposes of holding a pomegranate, you only heard that or did you only hear that regarding a kli that has a sealed cover on it? The ha rava hu de amar mukaf tzamid patil ad shiftach rubo. But wait 1 second. How could Rava be saying that the kli cheres that has the hole the size of a pomegranate is rendered tahor only if it has the a cover on it? Rava said that something that has a cover in it is not rendered tahor until most of it has broken off. Right? So that's that seems to be a contradiction in how we understand Rava's shita. Is it that a kli cheres that has a cover on it is rendered tahor the moment that it has holes the size of pomegranates in it? Or is Rava's shita that a kli cheres that has a cover on it is rendered tahor from everything when most of it has broken off? Lo kasha. No, it's not a difficulty. Ha Rav Revi, right? Zutri, right? One is talking about a particularly large utensil, and one is talking about a particularly small utensil, right? In that the first statement made of Rava, where most of it has to be broken off, it's talking about a large utensil that is really only unfit for things once most of it is broken. However, a small utensil, once it has holes in it the size of a pomegranate, then it is no longer useful.